Welcome to AM Best Audio.
LexisNexis Risk Solutions recently announced its 2024 Life Insurance Mortality Risk Management Study. The report analyzed data from over 50 million individuals from 2018 to 2022, covering over 1.7 billion medical data sets. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Matt Stahl, Director of Data Science for LexisNexis Risk Solutions. Matt, so glad you could join us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So Matt, in short, what is the focus of the recent Life Insurance Mortality Risk Management Study?
Yeah, sure. So the title of it is Two Sides of the Same Coin, Making Heads and Tails of Risk Using Medical and Behavioral Data Together. What we wanted to do is show how medical and behavioral data interact in the life insurance underwriting process. I do kind of want to define behavioral data a little bit. Behavioral data at LexisNexis is three core data assets. One is our driving record behavior that we have from motor vehicle records. We also have public records. So an example of that might be professional licenses or felonies. And then credit-based insurance attributes that correlate to mortality. So things like how many department store lines of credit do I have opened? So we wanted to see when these interact, what further differentiation might show up in assessing life insurance mortality. And as you stated in the beginning, it's a very large credible data set, 50 million lives, about 1.7 billion claim lines studied over 5 years. And then based on that feedback, when we show the differentiation, when is it exclusive? When is it exclusively medical risk that's being shown? When is it exclusively the behavioral? When are they helping each other? And then maybe when are they readily available during an underwriting process based on age and gender? So that in a nutshell is what we were trying to connect with our audience in this white paper.
Can you explain the significance of combining medical and non-medical data in life insurance underwriting and how it improves the overall assessment process?
Yeah, sure. So what we use in the white paper, which I think most people will know or most actuaries and underwriters will know, is something called a standard mortality ratio. And what that standard mortality ratio is there's actuarial tables that essentially say this is the expected death rate standardized for my age, my gender, and my smoking status. So in the white paper, when it says something like there's 125% mortality ratio, that means you're just 25% higher than the average for that entire 50 million population. So showing how these two can interact and how it can improve the process, a good example of this is driving under the influence or DUIs. Often when we've talked to underwriters in the life insurance space, a DUI comes up on that application and the agent or the consumer, whoever's lobbying for the policy and a good premium, might say, this was a DUI that they got when they were at a wedding. They don't drink. They had a little few more than they usually do. So we decided to kind of take a look at that and what does it really mean when you cross it with medical data. So we came up with four categories. You think about the population and you say, no, I don't have a DUI. And no, I don't have a diagnosis for alcohol addiction. When we look at that population, it's a teeny bit better than average, about 98% or about 2% better. When we just look at the population that has a DUI, but no alcohol addiction, the mortality jumps to about 220% or a little bit more than 2.2 times the mortality rate. However, if you say I don't have a DUI, but I do have an alcohol addiction, the people with an alcohol addiction have a mortality rate of 3x or 3 times higher. So there could be some credence a little bit to the lobbying that takes place in underwriting when they say, hey, DUI, it wasn't that important. But here's the interesting fact. The white paper where we're really trying to reach out to is what happens when these interact? And if you take that portion of the population that has a DUI and has an alcohol addiction, that mortality jumps almost to 5.5 times. So now you're seeing this interaction of these two data sets showing some really bad risk and really showing when there's a problem with the risk mortality in the data. And that's the direction for bad risk. But we've also found, and probably more, is where is it good, right? Sleep apnea has come up with on life insurance policies lately. And sleep apnea is somewhat benign. What we saw for people who had sleep apnea in the population is their mortality rate's about 24% higher. What we did, though, is at LexisNexis, we have a product called Risk Classifier. It essentially is a model that captures that behavioral risk. So the three data assets that I talked about before. And we appended that risk score to that population that had sleep apnea. And when you rank it, about half that sleep apnea population has better than the average mortality risk. So these are people that have sleep apnea that might be managing their sleep apnea, doing the things that the doctor says, losing weight, using the machine, et cetera, to improve it. And then on the far end of that ranking, the bottom 10% of the behavioral risk for those that had sleep apnea, they actually went up to 2x. So it starts to show the behavioral data interacting with the medical data. It starts to show where these pockets of good and bad risk are, again, in both directions.
Matt, can this new approach to underwriting help life insurance carriers reach underserved populations who may have been overlooked by traditional methods?
Yeah, sure. So the underserved population, let me start with a little bit of history there, at least what we saw in our data. Starting in 2000, before 2019, we saw a lot of carriers proactively trying to close that insurance gap, reaching out to these underserved populations. Then 2019 hit, and unfortunately we had the pandemic. And the pandemic, I don't like to say there's anything good about it, but the one thing that it did do, at least in the life insurance spaces, it pushed carriers to accelerate and automate more. So what do I mean by accelerate and automate? Accelerate would mean I waive some type of medical, like a fluid draw or a paramedical visit. Automated means I'm using the same rules or perhaps model on every consumer. There's not a lot of human intervention. So when we looked at that, what we saw was an increase in some of these underserved populations qualifying for acceleration. The implied bias that can happen sometimes when we have manual intervention is mitigated by these accelerated and automated and programs. So combining both medical and non-medical data improves these accelerated and automated programs. And just some quick numbers on that, we have this de-identified data set where we use something called BISG. It stands for Bayesian Improved Surname Geocoding. Just realize it's a way to estimate the ethnicity on a particular consumer in a de-identified environment. And what we saw for applicants that qualified for these accelerated programs where they were using some digitized data asset, the Hispanic and Black population that first year in 2020 relative to 2019 went up about 150%. It kept growing. In 2022, it was around 200% increase. And then finally in 2023, when we last measured it, it's over 400% for both Hispanic and Black. The non-minorities grew too, just not as fast as a rate, just not as fast as they did. I mean, there is some growth in there because of the pandemic and what was already being done by the carriers in these accelerated programs. But ultimately, using these two data sets together improve your acceleration in your automation and benefit these groups by maybe mitigating some of that implied bias.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Now, the study claims that a segment of individuals with traditionally high-risk conditions may still qualify for accelerated underwriting. So how is this segmentation achieved?
Sure. Yeah. So the white paper, we intentionally tried to build on it. So I gave you that example in the beginning where it was two, what I'll call variables or pieces of information with DUI and alcohol addiction. So we said, well, why don't we run it on the whole thing? Why don't we start and just see what these conditions look like, medical conditions look like when you cross them with behavioral data. In the data for diabetes type 2, which is typically a condition that might not go through an accelerated underwriting program, say, hey, we don't want to push this through. We really need to look at it. That type 2 diabetes population had 157% standard mortality ratio, which is 57% more. When, again, we cross it with this behavioral data, we're able to see about 30% of that population could qualify for a standard premium or better. And when I say standard premium, 125% standard mortality ratio or better, dropping even a little bit below average. So the white paper continues to build on all those conditions. And what we decided to do is let's just build a medical model that kind of says this is the consumer's risk. We build a medical model that incorporated all the conditions. And we imagined that we were some type of insurance premium differentiator, meaning that we had different classes of premium. You have your worst class where maybe what the life insurance company would call table rating it or thinking about declining it. You had a class that was probably a little bit worse and wouldn't go down an accelerated path, like a 125% standard mortality ratio or worse. And then we had three great groups that were better than average. And so those three great groups, okay, we'll put them to a side and say, okay, they would have went down the accelerated path. But what about this kind of, they're not really bad, but they're somewhat bad, this 125% group? Can we differentiate that? We took that 125% and again crossed it with our behavioral data. And we found about almost half of that group that you would hold back and manually underwrite based on a model that assesses all your medical conditions could have been accelerated because their average mortality rate was about one or better.
The study mentioned something called reduced mortality slippage. What exactly is that?
Sure. Yeah. So mortality slippage essentially is comparing the mortality results from an accelerated program versus if I did the underwriting assessment manually or completely with all the information. So as we talked about before, usually an accelerated program waives fluid draws or a paramedical exam. So I don't have those two things. And what we would do is we would, at some point in time after we've written both populations on an accelerated program and in a manual underwriting program, we would compare mortality rates. And obviously, the one that had more information, the manual side, should have better mortality. So that slippage is the difference between the accelerated program and the manual process. The question becomes is with the white paper, when we combine these digitized assets together, can we work to improve that gap? And we were talking about before about complementing the data sets. And this is essentially what happens. I remember when I was younger, in my late 20s, even maybe my little 30s, I did not go to the doctor. It took me getting married and my wife pushing me to go to the doctor before my medical history really developed. So we ran something called, in this white paper, Shopley values, which is a machine learning technique, which shows where the medical data and the behavioral data are performing and providing in risk assessment. And right around 50 is when the medical data starts to, the age of 50 is when the medical data starts overpowering the risk capture. And so the bottom line is this, is that combining these two data assets together, because a lot of people are going to buy life insurance policies before 50, is having them both together the behavioral data complements it, and it allows the life insurance carrier to assess and close that mortality slippage in these programs where I'm not collecting liquids or fluids and also doing paramedical exams. It allows the closing of that with the addition of the behavioral data.
Now, the study suggests that many applicants may no longer need invasive medical tests, things like blood draws. Do you think that this improves the customer experience and reduces policy abandonment rates?
Yeah, so the customer journey and abandonment are two kind of key things that carriers look at. And when I think about customer journey and abandonment, I think of one, speed and optimization on response for the customer journey. How quickly can we get them through the application process so it's not hard for them? And then abandonment is usually defined as I've issued the policy and maybe within 2 years or less, I leave because I can't afford it, or maybe I find a better policy. So those are kind of two things that the life insurance carrier is trying to mitigate. So how do these combining of the data assets or what we're doing in the white paper, how do they help to mitigate them? The speed to the response is pretty straightforward. We've been talking about it. The data assets either complement each other, or when they interact, they help differentiate risk, and the accelerated programs and the automated processes that you have improve. And with abandonment, it's the same thing. The pricing is correct. The customer feels comfortable with the premium that they received. It's accurate because we differentiated it correctly. As we talked about diabetes, there's some really bad risk in there, and there could be some really good risk in there based on how the consumer is managing it. But the one thing I want to hit on, I think, with what you asked is LexisNexis has been working to improve the digitization of medical data. Back in 2023, we acquired a company called Human API. And Human API is a company that gathers electronic health records, or EHR. And this has grown in the years. It started with the Affordable Care Act. There was a part of the Affordable Care Act where it required interoperability. So if I move and I go to a new general practitioner, I should be able to get my cardiology records over to my new general practitioner so they know what is going on with me. And in the past 5 years, interoperability has helped digitizing data and making it readily available for the consumer. HIEs, or health insurance exchanges, are groups that are bringing this data together at a state level. And there's about 40 to 50% of available data on consumers out there through HIEs if you have authorization, HIPAA authorization to get it from a clinical standpoint. But one of the great things about Human API is they've introduced a concept called consumer mediated. So what it allows the consumer to do is use Human API to get out there and try to gather their medical records through portals, through a safe HIPAA compliant API. And the consumer drives what is collected through an EHR process. So with this acquisition of Human API, we're seeing about a 70% success rate as far as pulling back electronic health records in the life insurance space. And when you combine that EHR medical data with a great digitized behavioral data asset, it can cover pretty much the entire risk space for a consumer. And that drives that helps your acceleration programs, that helps your automation processes, and it mitigates those not taken categories and hopefully long term those abandonment policies that happen sometimes in the first 2 years.
Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, John, for having me.
That was Matt Stahl, Director of Data Science for LexisNexis Risk Solutions, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio. Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200 extension 5399, and have a great day.